The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment. Every week, The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/theshiningwizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on swlive.net and rantemradio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Hey, this is Moose, and you're listening to The Shining Wizards Podcast.
I have a small dick.
No, what?
God damn.
I almost feel like I need the Benny Hill theme at this point, because we're going to open the show talking about the end of an era. But it's the beginning of another episode of The Shining Wizards, where, of course, it's wrestling talk. And talk about the wrestling. Happy 4th of July, everyone. Hope you're out there being safe and nobody's doing a JPP. Going to wind up at the end of the day with 7 fingers instead of 10. Hope you all are safe. No drinking and driving, don't forget. But barbecue the shit out of that meat, because that's what you got to do. Enjoy yourselves, have fun, and then back to work on Wednesday. So like I said, it's been an interesting week. Actually, got a lot to talk about. Lots of news, notes, events, and upcoming things that we need to discuss. You know what? For old time's sake, since it's going to be officially the nail in the coffin... Well, apparently, with Jeff Jarrett in charge of Impact Wrestling, and Jeff Jarrett being the CEO, owner, head honcho of Global Force Wrestling, I'm always tempted to say global, like GWF instead of GFW. I guess I'm going to have to get used to it now, because Impact is no more. Well, at least the promotion. The show is still going to be called GFW Impact, Global Force Impact. Still with the anthem on the bottom, but now it's just going to have GFW on top. Wonder if the owl's still going to stay around. I wonder if Jeff's got rights to the owl or if he's still going to wind up using it. Anyway, let me take that down a bit. I'm sorry. I just felt in the mood to go back to the meh TNA days. But it looks like they're going to be gone. And as a matter of fact, with all of the goings-on, with the global taking over the TNA Impact, we went into this weekend with the grandmother of Impact, their WrestleMania Slammiversary, and we had some title unifications. We finally, hopefully, had a blow-off to the awful announcers feud. And don't be surprised, folks. Actually, I kind of was. They put on an interesting match, something that wasn't so terrible. Anyway, let's run down the card. LAX, who's already your Global Force and Impact Tag Team Champions, Beat a bunch of other teams in a fatal four-way, first pin wins. I don't care to go into the other teams. I'm just happy that my boys are rocking it. Good for them. Good on them. Way to represent. There's a fellow by the name of D'Angelo Williams. I think he's an NFL player. Not really sure, but he teamed up with our buddy Moose, who you heard in the intro to the show. And they beat the team of Eli Drake and the former Chris Masters, a.k.a. Chris Adonis. I hope he doesn't turn out to be a splotch and start relaxing with Trudy in the future. But from what I understand, Mr. Williams was pretty much put every celebrity wrestler to shame with his performance, which is a nice thing. It's nice to see that, you know, the people that get involved in the shows actually put some effort in. Now, I'm not taking anything away from those who came before. I'm talking about Karl Malone, talking about Snooki. Of course, I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about Mr. T. Snoop Dogg, yeah, yeah. Whatever he says, chooch. Doesn't he say chooch? I don't know. Snoop hasn't been around in a while, and he's one of these guys that wants to kill Donald Trump, our president, mind you. So whatever, whatevs. So let's see. The big one, the reason why you tuned in to Slammiversary, Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park, who later becomes Abyss, takes on Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner, of all people. I know Kevin and I talked about it a few weeks ago that he was coming back. And as a matter of fact, this had a little bit of a broken feel to it, I guess, because Impact Wrestling is claiming they own the rights to it. They might as well go with it, right? But remaking their returns, at least for this segment, James Mitchell and the one and only Shark Boy. And the crazy thing was, Josh Matthews takes a splash from Jeremy Borash on a pile of thumbtacks. And to show you how hardcore Jeremy Borash was, he suffered about 40 puncture wounds to his hands and his arms when he laid him out with that splash. But hopefully, despite all the entertainment, all this BS ruining the weekly show is over. Hopefully. So Eddie Edwards and his wife Alicia beat Davey Richards and Angelina Love. Maybe it's the end of that feud for now. Maybe we're going to start getting some new beginnings. Sanjay Dutt defended the X Division title against Lowkey successfully after winning it over in India last week. Or was it 2 weeks ago? I don't know. So Sienna, the Global Force Wrestling Women's Champion, took on Rosemary, the Impact Women's Champion. And Sienna stopped the mist and actually beat Rosemary, which I'm kind of upset about. I kind of dug the Rosemary gimmick, even though the... what the hell was it called? The Juggalos? No, I'm mistaken. Whatever their group was called. Decay. That was it. Now they're gone. Crazy Steve actually had a tryout with WWE, which I really don't understand. And don't mind me if I'm shifting around a little bit. My headphones are really starting to annoy me. So I just wanted to get a little bit of a break. I've actually been taking questions right now on the Facebook. Just trying to get a little bit of flavor to see what people are interested in and what people really want to mess with me about. So we'll get to that in a few minutes, but let me finish running down the Slammiversary card. Let's see. The other big news. Alberto El Patron, your Global Force champion, defeated Bobby Lashley to become the unified, undisputed Impact Global Champion. And there was a person at ringside wearing a Dos Caras mask, kind of skinny, little pale, taking a lot of pictures and recording a lot when Alberto and Bobby Lashley were in the ring. Rumor has it might have been a certain significant other, which we reported on last week that they seem to be off again. But lo and behold, people, for those of you who are really concerned, they're back on again. So power to the power couple. Not saying that Paige was the one that was under the mask, but hey, why not, right? She's supposed to be making a return soon. Why did I sound like an Irishman? Making a return soon to WWE, but who knows? I don't know. Quite frankly, I could give less of a shit about that than anything else right now. So that's Slammiversary, and moving forward, it's going to be Global Impact on Wednesday, Thursday? When are they on? I don't even know. Thursdays, yes. Yes, they're on Thursdays. And apparently, I think it was TV Guide that let slip, spoiler alert, that Alberto El Patron might become the new leader of the LAX. And if there's guys from our boys, the LAX, EYFBO, to learn under the tutelage of, aside from Conan and Homicide, Alberto Del Rio, El Patron, is not a bad a tree to reach for that hanging fruit. Boy, I'd like to reach for some of his hanging fruits. Am I right, Paige? Oi, oi, oi. Or is that Becky Lynch? I don't even know. Whatever. So apparently a few of the old wrestlers get the feeling that they can take out some of the big stars. For example, Ken Shamrock wants to get back into WWE so he can take on Brock Lesnar. I like Ken. I do. I really do. We've had him on the show before. He's a great guy. And it's nice to dream about wanting to face Brock Lesnar. Don't think that's going to happen. Don't think it's going to happen for whatever reason. Ken Shamrock seems to be that exception to the never say never rule. And I wouldn't mind having him back in WWE, but let's take some baby steps and let's not worry about Brock Lesnar yet. Kurt Angle didn't call out Rusev, but said that he thinks that him and Rusev would have a great match. I don't know, man. I think, Kurt, your in-ring career might be behind you at this point, buddy. Once again, like the Kurt Angle, think he's a talented guy. Really enjoyed his body of work, his career. I don't think that's going to happen, my friend. And you know what always happens in these matches? You always wind up having to put over the old guy, right? It's never the old guy who comes back to put over the new guy. And what good does that do? Think about it. Think about Rocky Balboa, Mason the Line Dixon. He beats Rocky. Who cares? He beats a washed up former star. He loses to Rocky. He looks like a bigger fool because some old guy just beat the shit out of him. I don't know. Speaking of which, Manny Pacquiao got fucked. At least that's what I heard. I didn't see the fight. I just hope that Conor McGregor pays it forward because I really don't want Floyd Mayweather to win. I actually, somebody posted up the highlights of his fight with Arturo Gatti from years ago. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, I know he's a good fighter. I don't get it. Let's see. We'll go to a SmackDown briefing real quick from last week. Actually, a couple things. One, it looks like Naomi has her women's championship not bedazzled out. No. She's got it all hooked up with the light show. You knew it was just a matter of time, folks. You knew that it was an idea that a lot of belt marks had for a while. I mean, I guess once you have a spinner belt, anything is fair game. But it actually looks pretty cool, and it fits her gimmick. And I'm not offended by it. So to each his own. Carmella, they had their rematch for the Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't know. I don't think we touched on it last week. I think we touched on the fact that they were having another one. But yes, lo and behold, Carmella won the match, and she won the damn thing. And she did it in the normal, proper, usual way by retrieving the briefcase and hooty-hoo, whoop-de-doo. A couple bits of news and notes. Unfortunately, we had a death in the Hart family. Smith Hart passed away this week at the age of 68. And, dude, I saw a picture of him, and he looks like old Bret Hart, like an old lesbian. I don't know what it is with that Hart family gene, but god damn, I guess getting old's a bitch. I'm losing more hair by the day, I'm losing more of my memory by the day. So these things, I guess, happen. So rest in peace, Smith Hart. Jesus, Stu Hart. He fucking died like a decade ago, probably longer. The other news out of the Hart family, Tyson Kidd has been brought back to WWE. He is going to be a producer now. I guess his in-ring career is behind him after suffering that broken neck. It was the muscle buster delivered to him by Samoa Joe. And from what I remember and what I gather, it was a freak thing. Tyson Kidd was already banged up at that point. At least that's what they surmised. So it's not like Joe went out and, you know, tried to end his career or anything. It's just a very unfortunate situation. But good for Tyson Kidd, and I hope that they keep him around because there's one person you can learn something about the wrestling business. It's definitely somebody that has a Hart legacy. So good for him. I'm glad to see that he's back. Somebody who's not going to be back until March of 2018, as predicted right now, Tommaso Ciampa, As we know, he suffered a torn ACL a few months ago. Started that feud with Johnny Gargano, but unfortunately, he never went anywhere because Tommaso had to take some time off and have surgery to repair that torn ACL. So, while that's unfortunate, he will be coming back in March just in time for WrestleMania, maybe? I don't know if he's going to be around for WrestleMania, but maybe it's a great part for him to pick up where he left off with Johnny Gargano in their feud right in time for WrestleMania weekend. But who knows? Maybe they'll want to see how the ankle feels before then. Who knows? Maybe he comes back early. I don't know these things. I'm not a doctor, people. You don't come for me. You don't come to me for medical attention. Frankly, I question why you come to me for any kind of wrestling information. But then again, I think I know a thing or two about the thing or two. Which one of the NXT big boys could debut on Raw and not be mishandled? That's a good question. I would hope that the Authors of Pain would not be switched around and not given some awful, like, watered down or, God forbid, switched up version of their gimmick, like the Ascension. I would hope at this point, since Triple H is so high on Bobby Roode, that Bobby Roode doesn't get switched around. So we'll see what happens. That was Pete Rosato on the Facebook page. Let me go through some of the other questions real quick before we take a break. Casey Drischler asks, should they kill off Enzo Game of Thrones style, or they should kill him off? I agree with that. I've had enough of Enzo. I don't care if they fucking give him the old boss man treatment and hang him from the center of Hell in a Cell and then go to a commercial right afterwards. Sean Bateman asks, who would win a tag match between War Machine and Brody and Hanson? War Machine is a great team. They're doing fucking awesome shit over in Japan. However, these are two young men who still have a great deal ahead of them. So if we were to take them right now with Brody and Hanson at their primes, I don't think it's a contest at this point. However, never say never, and these guys are definitely on the right path to bigger and better things. KP Bursk, Jesus Christ, the fucking quesadilla machine winning man himself. KP Burke, friend of the show. Is Ambrose going to get the Ziggler treatment in terms of never getting to be a top guy again? Absolutely. My balls say yes. No one else really cares. Fuck him. Good buddy, Sir Chris Casares. Why does my peen move whenever I see Becky Lynch? It's because you're in love with crazy redheaded Irish bitches, you fucking maniac, you. Yes, you do like girls. Absolutely. She is fucking annoying as fuck, but she's pretty damn sexy. So there you go. Casey Drischler again. Do you think it's a waste to have a Money in the Bank ladder match with a guaranteed title match when there's only six women in the on the division? Yes, it's a waste to shoehorn the women into any kind of matches like these. Any kind. Look what happened with Sasha Banks and Charlotte. Stop trying to do shit just so you can say we were the first ones to do it. It's not how it works. Let it mean something. Can we at least have that? Can we stop fucking doing pay-per-views where they're based around a fucking gimmick match and let the fucking feud fit the gimmick rather than shoehorn the fucking gimmick around nothing? Please. Where do you guys think the G1 will be next year? Raymond Sanchez asks. Raymond, there's no better place than on the mean streets of North Arlington to have the G1 next year. We'll get into the G1 news in a minute. That was questions for now. You know what? I'm going to take a break because I need a little bit of a drink. When we come back, we'll go into some more stuff. We've got an update about Sonny that I could tease you with. Some news about Jeff Hardy and his band. The Great Balls of Fire recap. We'll talk about G1. A little bit of Glow. A little bit of a wrestling magazine called Wow. And then we'll close it out. We'll see you in a few. Here's a chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you like wrestling videos, visit ShiningWizards.com and click the IVP Videos banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra to buy through us, but a small percentage of your purchase will support the show. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them for all the great Zubaz collection at Zubaz.com. The High Spots Wrestling Network provides over 2,000 hours every month of high-quality entertainment. Visit HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com, type in the code WIZARDS, and you'll receive your first month free of charge. If Lucha Crates are your thing, visit LuchaLoot.com and enter the code WIZARDS for 10% off any purchase of a Lucha Crate. If you like Lucha merchandise, visit LuchaShop.com, put in WIZARDS at checkout, and again, you'll save 10%. Bottom Line Merch. cutting-edge merchandise from today's biggest and brightest wrestlers. Visit bottomlinemerch.com and begin shopping today. Support those who support us, and we all can support each other. Thanks for shopping with the Shining Wizards.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell. I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political gobbledygookery.
I haven't played this band since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Dave Destruction Sturgio, and I'm here to talk to you about Destruction 101. It's a brand new podcast hosted by yours truly, Dave Destruction, exclusively every Wednesday night on the Shining Wizards Network and iTunes. Come join me as I explore the world of professional wrestling, professional sports, a little bit of MMA, and just a little bit of advice every week to get you through yours. I'll see you every Wednesday night, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Welcome back. It's been a long time since we've had to play that. Actually, it hasn't been a long time since we've had to play it. It's been a long time since we've played it. Oh, because I made a bit of a fuck up last week. Covered a little story about Raw, about LeVar and LaMelo Ball, and a couple of expletives that were dropped.
Well, he is the lunatic friend.
Beat that nigga ass! Beat that nigga ass!
And the sad part was, I had mentioned that we hadn't heard something like that since Booker T did it when he was upset with the Hulkster in the NWO.
We coming for you, nigga!
But I left out a glaring omission. Glaring omission. By the boss himself.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
That's right. Don't forget, John Cena back in the dressing room. Vince asking him what's good in the hood.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
Yeah, so three times in the past, what, 20 years? Actually, that's pretty damn good odds if you think about it. That's pretty damn good. Three times. And you know what's funny? Two of them involve Booker T. Speaking of Booker T, this is why I bring it up again this week. Not so much to bring back Ween, which I was trying to load up. Where'd the cheese go? I don't know. And for some reason, I could add anything and everything in my iTunes catalog to the soundboard, except for that fucking song. But I'm digressing. So this past week, Booker T said he was a little upset that the New Day decided to poke fun at his little snafu toward the Hulkster during an interview. And I said, how did this gem escape me? How did this one get past me? Well, good thing I went on the YouTubes and I checked it out for myself. So here we have the New Day in the ring challenging the Usos for a SmackDown World Tag Team title shot. And I'll let Big E do what he did.
Now listen up and put this flavor in your ear. We want that gold, sucker. And that battleground, we're coming for you.
Usos, Usos. We're coming for you, Usos. That's what I meant. Right.
Now, I don't understand how Booker T can get mad at that. Christ, we interviewed Stevie Ray about it on this show. And Stevie couldn't stop laughing. And he even said he heard his brother use it 1,000 times to 1,000 other people. It didn't bother him. Maybe Booker's just trying to be socially conscious now. Maybe he's getting a little up in age, wants to set a better example. And I don't blame the guy. But it's not like Biggie came out and said it. He's just having a little fun with it. I don't know. I think Booker T's making a much ado about nothing on that one. Speaking much ado about nothing, don't forget, folks, tomorrow, I guess tonight, July 4th. Yes, great. Now I gave away when I'm recording this. John Cena makes his return to SmackDown Live as a free agent. Another week goes by, still could give zero fucks. Don't really care, because if he starts going back and forth, it's going to be a problem. So let me see. Our friend Sonny apparently had another health scare. Apparently this week on social media, back on June 28th, she had posted her heart was broken again. On June 30th, she wrote no one cared about her. She's been in New York City for the past, maybe a month or so. That could be a very light estimate. But apparently she's been living in the area, and she passed out and fell. And she wound up in the hospital. And I don't know what's been going on with her. We haven't really spoken to Sonny in quite a bit. Probably because she hasn't really been reachable in the past few months, but we're keeping her in our prayers. You know, she's in our thoughts, thoughts and prayers. But she's always been good to us. You know, we have a great relationship with her, so if she needs help, we'll be happy to help her out. I'm sure you guys would too. Not like that, you fucking perverts. Let's see, speaking of perverts, Jeff Hardy at the end of Raw is having a release party for the newest album from his band, Paroxywaijin. I'm hoping I say that right. Last time there was a question mark in somebody's name, it was question mark in the Mysterians. I'm sure you know the song 96 Tears. If you don't, go fucking listen to it. It's pretty fucking good. It was originally going to be called 69 Tears, but even back in the 50s and 60s, they were like, yeah, we can't fucking do that shit. I don't know when the song was written. I'm saying 60s. It might have been the 50s. I don't know. But it's a great fucking song, so go check that out. Sorry, I tapped and I fucking shook the microphone. I didn't mean to. Great Balls of Fire. Let's run down the card real quick. Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe for your Universal Championship. I don't think there's any question that Brock Lesnar is going to win this one. Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, ambulance match. I have a feeling it's going to be good old RR himself, but the right booking would be to put Braun Strowman over, unless you are absolutely going with Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, which they probably are. Akira Tozawa takes on Neville for the 205 Championship. I don't know what the story is behind this, but I can't see Neville losing. I can't see Neville losing at all, to be honest with you, until he gets in the ring with Drew Gulak, and Drew Gulak fucking beats the shit out of him. I'd be very happy when that happens. Alexa Bliss defends against Sasha Banks. Don't give a fuck about Sasha Banks. Hope she loses. Who cares? I don't give a fuck. Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, another one you could throw in the I don't give a fuck file. Neither one of those guys right now really is fucking doing anything for me. Enzo versus Cass. I hate Enzo. I really do. He needs a fucking overhaul. Big Cass gives him the fucking big boot, and Big Cass moves on to bigger and better things. Unless they do some fucking cheap shit roll up and they have a rematch on Raw. Don't fucking get me started. I tried to start watching GLOW, and I fucking wish I could speak so I can get my thoughts out more clearly. I forget what night it was. It might have been Saturday night. Got home from work. Had myself a little something to eat. Said to the kid, hey, you want to watch Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling with me? He said, ooh, what's that? I said it's a sitcom based on a wrestling program that was out in the late 80s to 1990. And it was pretty entertaining. I told him, I said, I used to watch it when I was a kid. I was about your age when I was watching it. Maybe a tad older. I said, yeah, let's go check it out. So we put it on. And in the first couple of minutes, we've got a woman being suggested to go into pornography. Another woman lactating while she's at the gym doing maniac exercise. What are they called? Aerobicizing? Some shit like that. And then we got our first topless woman in the shower, all within the first 4 minutes. And it was at that point that I realized this is not a family-friendly show. I will be going back to watch it. It seems like it's well-written. One thing that I did check out finally on Netflix was that Pee-wee's, the Pee-wee Herman movie that he did, I think, last year with the guy from Magic Mike. not great. I thought it was pretty cool that they brought back Simone. Not as Simone, mind you. Jackie Childs was in it. But, folks, I don't know. There was a lot of it that was just so dumb. Like you watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and it's dumb, but it's got, like, that... It's got, like, it's got character. It's got, like a warm and fuzzy feeling to it when you watch it, to be honest with you. I don't know. This one kind of missed it. And I like me some Pee-wee Herman. You know, I want him to grab my fucking Schwans in a fucking theater. Ah! Ah! I don't know. I'm not the guy that does the Pee-wee voice. That's Eddie. Speaking of Eddie, and I don't know why I'm segueing using Eddie, the G1 special was over this past weekend out in California, because California knows how to wrestle. Ugh. They crowned timeout. Let's start again. Hey, G1 was over the weekend, folks. And they crowned a new United States champion, Kenny Omega. He beat Tonohiro Ishii in the final. And on the night before, it was a two-night program, Okada successfully defended the IWGP Championship against Cody Rhodes. Yes, I'm going to call him Rhodes because I don't give a fuck. Let WWE sue me. Sue everybody. Now, here's where I stand. Kenny Omega had 2 6-star allegedly matches. I only say allegedly because I don't go with this whole extra for them 5-star bullshit. What's the point of having a 5-star system if you're not going to fucking abide by it? But that's just picking nits. It's weird that Kenny Omega is in the middle of this big feud. He came so close to winning the IWGP Championship. Do they even call it a world championship? I don't know why they wouldn't. I would, but they don't. But whatever. 60-minute draw. And now he's the United States champion, which is weird because I know, like, oh, yeah, the U.S. champ is always number one contender, blah, 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 blah. But is this the kind of thing that you really need to do for Kenny Omega to put this secondary title on him now at this point? I would think that they would want to give it to somebody else to build somebody else up, because, to be honest with you, Kenny Omega doesn't need to be built up at this point. And it almost feels like he's settling for second best. I don't know. It's just going to be weird when he finally gets that third match for the heavyweight championship. What's going to wind up happening? And the belt's growing on me. I don't think it's the greatest design. Some people were losing their shit over how great they thought it was, but maybe that's on me. But I do find it ironic, unless I'm wrong about Kevin Owens, that there's 2 Canadians holding 2 United States championships now in the world. It's kind of weird, right? Maybe it's just me. But the funny thing was, to end the weekend, the Cody Rhodes, and Kenny Omega got into an argument in front of the rest of the Bullet Club. The Jacksons were there. Not Edward Jackson, the Jacksons. No, not Tito. Is Tito even alive? Hit me up on Twitter if Tito's alive. But they got into a heated argument, which you really couldn't hear because there was other commotions and things going on in the background. How big is Batista's dick? It's big enough to fill up your hiney hole, Giovanni. Big enough to fill your hiney. And I'm typing. I'm sorry. I'm typing. I shouldn't be playing with that. You know, this is hard being a one-man show. But anyway, that's the G1. That was all of my notes. I'm going to wrap up this week with what I've been doing, or what I started doing last week. Sorry as I reach over for it. I don't want to make sure I don't mess it up too much, because this magazine is from January 2001, Volume 2, Issue 9 of the World of Wrestling magazine. Now, you folks want to talk about a Bill Apter mag. This magazine has Bill Apter written all over it. No, literally, it has Bill Apter written all over it, because he wrote fucking a shitload of articles for this magazine. I'll just go through a couple of things. Once again, right up front, Figures Inc., WrestlingSuperstore.com. Have a nice 2-page spread the way they usually did, with all the replica belts, including all the WCW belts, including that shit hardcore one, which we never saw on TV because I don't know what the fuck that was. But it's got the ECW belts, kid size, adult size, mini replicas. It's even got the toy belts, which I had bought, which were amazing, which I wound up selling, which I regret. And the new NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Now, folks, the NWA replica was only $200. We all know how much they go for nowadays. Now, granted, they are in greater detail these days. But still, $200 for a replica back then, not bad. Olivia Walker, she was known famously for making the robes for Ric Flair, Greg Valentine, Tommy Rich. Oh, and also for the Killer Bees, which I did not know. She passed away in 2001. She was remembered by Bill Apter in this magazine. Why am I getting static? What is going on? What am I hitting? Am I going to start getting the... Okay, we've got a review of Anarchy Rules, the ECW game for the N64, which was the shits. We got an article on Howard Stern's Whack Pack, and two of them are dead, Crackhead Bob and Hank the Angry Drunken Dwarf, and they're in a picture with Conan, of all people. Conan and Beetlejuice together. Oh, here's something wacky for everyone. It's called Ring the Wedding Bell, and it mentions that Chris Jericho, Mark Calloway, quote-unquote The Undertaker, and Steve Austin, they just recently tied the knot. I believe Chris Jericho, it's to his current wife. I think he's only been married once, but I believe that Mark married Sarah, and Steve Austin might have been married to Deborah at this point. Oh, man, I wish I had Beat Deborah queued up. I love that song. But they played a game. They're like, oh, wrestlers, the Team WOW guys came up with a couple of our own. They said The Undertaker should have married Morticia from the Addams Family. Fuck, I wish I had my whistle. The Rock should marry Pebble from the Flintstones. You know, I got to find my whistle because these jokes are fucking amazing. Ah, here we go. Let me see. Vampiro and Elvira. Oh, boy. Stephanie McMahon should marry Ed McMahon. And Hulk Hogan should marry She-Hulk. How awful is that? Oh, and they've got a tutorial on how not to blade because they've got Cronus blading Supreme from XPW. Wow, this magazine is fucking great, to be honest with you. It's got the inaugural XFL schedule, including the New York, New Jersey Hitmen opening the season at the Las Vegas Outlaws in week one. What else? There's so much shit in here. It's got reviews of video games, including Conker's Bad Fur Day. How old are you people if you remember Conker's Bad Fur Day? It's got five questions with Test. Remember Test? This was great. I really enjoyed this. They had a whole section called Hot or Not. Let me pick a few of them for you real quick before we go. You know who's hot? Chris Benoit. Hot may not have been the case early in his career in the WWF, but he's demonstrated that his technical style meshes well. And this may be the year he adds the WWF world title to his resume. Didn't he win and then he wound up getting it reversed because Shane McMahon helped him cheat or some shit? I'll tell you what's not hot. ECW television. After a year of not being promoted properly, ECW got the boot from TNN in October and at press time lacked a network to call home. It says, sadly, syndicated television may be ECW's only option. Most networks confirm lineups for 2001, and ECW appears on none of them. Well, we all know how that fucking turned out. Oh, hot, Steve Austin. When he's not beating his wife, he's beating fucking rednecks. No, it doesn't say that. I just wanted to be a little silly. It's got a wrestling profile on Edge, plus a pull-out fucking poster, which I never pulled out, because I wouldn't fucking hang a picture of Edge on my wall. Oh, it's got the monthly rankings from the staff, including Bill Apter's rankings. He ranks Triple H as number one, followed by The Rock and Booker T, which he describes as no crass, all class. I wonder if he put that after he knew that Booker T was dropping expletives. The birth of extreme attitude. Oh, an article about Rhino. You can buy XPW DVDs online. There's a beautiful picture of Abdullah the Butcher with a fork stuck in his head. Oh, best part of the magazine, World of Wrestling Bombshells. We've got a whole article on Chiquita. She was a Nitro girl. She looks pretty good. I don't remember her, but damn. Che, which I believe she married Shawn Michaels. Major Guns in a red, white, and blue bikini celebrating America. Trish Stratus, Pamela Paulshock, who I really don't fucking remember, and rest in peace, China. If you own a PlayStation, you could go get Dukes of Hazzard 2. Daisy dukes it out. I guess that means she punches boys in the balls. And up-and-comer featured right here in this issue of WoW Magazine, The Prototype. That's right. Birth name, John Cena. Height, 6 feet. Weight, 250. Birthday, April 23rd, 1977. Happy 40th birthday to John Cena. Happy 575th birthday to America. And there's no better way to end this, your 4th of July episode, with a great song that I can't find right now because I'm a fucking idiot. No, not that song, you schmuck. It's this one for our buddy the Patriot and a true patriot, the man who co-opted the music, Mr. Kurt Angle. Folks, stay safe on the 4th of July. Get back to work on Wednesday. Keep tuning in to Shiny Movies. Thanks for joining us.
Coming for you, Usos.
That's what I meant.
Right.
No, what?